I call this final meeting of the Children and Families Finance and Policy Committee to order. The first item on our agenda, members, is the approval of the April 9th minutes. Representative Nelson, would you, do you have a motion for the minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move the minutes from April 9th.
All right. Vice Chair Nelson moves approval of the April 9th minutes. Any questions or corrections to the minutes, members? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion prevails and the minutes are adopted. All right, so members, yesterday we were on the House File 2436, and we are on the DE1 amendment, and we have one remaining amendment from yesterday, which is the A9 amendment. Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair, I believe I do need to move the bill, so is it lingering? Do we need to do an actual moving the bill before the committee, or is it not?
We did adjourn yesterday, and we laid it over, so the bill is still before the committee, but
so
you can...
So just me.
You can go ahead and
we
move
do not need to move the bill.
We're good? Okay, great. Yep, you can, you know what? Just for fun, one last time, go ahead and make your motion, Mr. Chair.
Okay, one last time. I'll move House File 2436 as amended thus far to the Committee on Ways and Means. And then, well, I guess it's not amended yet. And then I'll move the DE1 amendment as amended thus far to the bill.
All right, very good. So to the remaining amendment from yesterday, the A9 amendment, Representative Nadeau, would you like to move and explain your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members. I do want to move House File. I want to move the A9, and I would request a roll call vote.
Roll call being, we don't have to do hands. Roll call being requested. Roll call will be granted.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm going to call this amendment the do the right thing amendment. And, you know, we had a long conversation yesterday about, you know, we always have questions about what's the right decision to make. And this is one of those things where I just don't think where, you know, when we fund families over departments, I think there's no question there. What this amendment does, and it's a little bit complicated, I'm happy to walk through every one of these things, but what it does is it ultimately reduces on line 800 in the spreadsheet on the dated 4/6/25 at 8:58 p.m. on line 800, I'm not dismantling this. I'm literally reducing the amount of the increase in the operational adjustment to the department by $2.889 million, and I'm moving those into early education scholarships. And that will fund about 200 scholarships. And this is a department that literally just started in, you know, in June or July 1st of 2024. You know, they have a base budget of more than $9 billion. They have 930 FTEs. They have a $260 million operations and admin budget. And this committee, I'm going to go through the DE, I mean, and I'm going to go through article by article because I think it's important. Article 1 is an agency bill. Article 2, 25% of it is an agency bill. Article 3, a third of it is an agency bill. Article 4, a third of it is an agency bill. Article 5, 90% of it is an agency bill. Article 6, more than half of it is an agency bill, almost all of it. And members, you know, our job, when we started out, I think the first time I spoke in this committee, I spoke about the importance and value that we have to bring to providers. We need to lower the cost on providers. We need to increase the access for families that are struggling under an average cost of over $16,000 for childcare in Minnesota. And all of us agree in the value of early learning environment and scholarships. And if you look at, you know, what we did, if you look at the document that was agreed upon, you know, this whole thing is just agency money. That's it. I mean, we freed up $21 million from a cancellation from the Mille Lacs Band. And I appreciate that we're spending, you know, $40 million on SSIS, but this is all agency except one time $6 million in early learning scholarships. And I recognize that we reduced the copays on our CCAP a little bit. This status quo that we're just going to defer to agencies constantly has got to stop. It's just got to stop, members. So, like I say, this is what I consider to be the Do Right Amendment. I'm not dismantling the operational adjustments. I'm reducing them. This department will do just fine. And maybe my experience, and maybe I have a different view, you know, being a long-time, you know, county worker. We do the right thing every day, regardless of the funding levels that we get. That's what we do. And is it easier if we have a boatload of money? Sometimes it is. But it's also a lot harder to be accountable. It's a lot harder to measure the effect of what we're doing. It's much more difficult to evaluate. And over the past 2 years, we have loaded our agencies with an abundance of dollars, and necessary in some cases. This is a small amendment that basically makes a commitment to the families that need it the most, the kids that need it the most. This is 200 early learning scholarships. And with that, members, that's my amendment. Thank you for indulging me. I hope that we can find some bipartisan agreement on this. I think all of your constituents will be happy if you vote red on this amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I was ready to follow you there, Representative Nadeau.
That was a mistake.
Discussion on the A9 members. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will just echo what Representative Nadeau has said regarding his amendment and support it. I think he's right. I think my experience here, we are very heavy laden with trying to do good for our agencies, and particularly one party. If the Republicans are in charge, we want to make sure their agencies are taken care of, and if the Democrats are in charge, we want to make sure their agencies. So there's a certain, I think, a possession or a taking care of or protecting, and it shouldn't be that way, but it has, at least the 15 years I have been here. That's just the way it's been. Well, actually, I came in, it was under Dayton, so it's always been under a Democrat governor. But the same thing happened when the Pawlenty administration, because my sister Susan worked in his healthcare cabinet. So we do that. We take care of our agencies because we feel an obligation to, it's our governor's agency. And we do overladen them with a lot of money because we believe they're doing their best work. But when we're faced with a $6 billion deficit, which we had in 2011-12, that's when our agencies sometimes did the best, and so did we lawmakers. Because they knew that they were going to be cut. They knew they were not going to get an increase in their budget. They're going to be cut. Everybody had a cut. So then they went back to the drawing board and sharpened their pencils and their scalpels and went back to see, what do we do best? How can we do it better and cheaper? And it really, it worked well. At the end, with a great Governor Dayton, I enjoyed him immensely, working with him. We created a better government that distributed the goods to Minnesota, be it healthcare, education, or agriculture, you name it. And it was a leaner, better budget, and the agencies also were leaner and better and more efficient. And it did make us better. So I think that with, I'll close in this, supporting Representative Nadeau's amendment in taking the $6 million operating adjustment, which is an increase to their budget. It's a lot of money. And we had the commissioner here saying, well, we need it because it's cost of living increases and mailing, you know, it's more expensive to mail a letter and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think your bill, your amendment, Representative Nadeau, was just taking $2 million out of that and putting in early learning scholarships, correct? 2.8. Okay, then last thing. Just think about it. If you would be so kind to maybe put the phones down just for a moment. We're all guilty of being on them. I'm guilty of it too. But I'll just close in this, and you keep typing on if you want. That's no big deal. I think it is best in still giving the department over a $4 million increase for expenses for 2 years and taking $2.8 million of that total six that they wanted and put it at early learning scholarships where we all agree. I think that would be a very wise and prudent thing to do and something we can accomplish here. And we're not dashing and bashing the agency. They'll work better. And I'm not even an expert in that opinion. They'll work better with less money. People usually do. Think about your households when you weren't bringing in that kind of income, when that Great Recession. Who was working during the Great Recession, 2007, 2008? Yeah, I was self-employed, photographer. Guess what was cut out in people's budgets? When they had no money, photography. But we were a better, leaner family and studio. So consider it, my friends. I think you should support the, what is it, A9? A9 amendment. And it'll do great things. It'll make the department better, cleaner, more efficient, and give early learning scholarships.
Representative Zelizkar.
Thank you, Chair. And I, too, believe that we should accept the A9 amendment. I'm going to read to you one of many emails that I got that is not a canned email because I don't usually respond to those. This is from a constituent saying, please do not cut early learning. I just learned that early learning funding is set to be cut in half this session. I'm shocked to learn this. Even at the current funding levels, families can't access early care and learning programs for low-income families. If the legislature doesn't, if we don't act, more people are not going to receive the scholarships they should have. We should be expanding scholarships to serve children that are missing out on this opportunity and not cutting them. And I couldn't agree more. I've said that this entire time we've been in session, that we built an agency. But we're not increasing spots for kids. How can we be the Children and Family Committee when we are building an agency that's not, and every time I ask the question how many spots, it's nothing. That's up to us, apparently, to make sure we have spots for childcare. It's very disappointing to me, and there are so many families, and these are low-income families that are waiting for early learning scholarships. And so while I'm thrilled with the SSIS, I've been waiting for that. They had the same program when I was there in 1991, when I took my first job, and clearly it's not 1991 anymore. But this bill, when we increased government by 40%, and we're not going to go back after this session and tell the families that need to have childcare for the low-income people in order to get a job, which I'm also on labor and workforce, it is absolutely the definition of insanity to me, that we cannot see the fact that we aren't increasing spots for children to actually receive childcare. This amendment is way beyond doing the right thing. It's the whole point of the Children and Families Committee. The point of the committee is not to make sure we just fund agencies. Unless these buildings down here are going to be having 200 children receive care, I'd be okay with it then, but I don't see that proposal in front of us. I don't see that happening. And so we are 200 scholarships is a big deal to the state of Minnesota right now in order for families to go to work. And if we want to protect kids, there's no better way to protect kids to make sure their parents can make a living. That stress is reduced, and it's the least we can do is to make sure that these scholarships happen for our littlest kids in low-income families. Thank you.
Just a quick reminder that the department are the ones who administer the scholarships program. Representative Hicks.
Thank you so much, Chair. And thank you. Do I have to push the button?
No.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much for allowing the conversation. I want to talk about something that Representative Nadeau said about how parts of the bill are from the agency. And I just want to take a minute to talk about the parts of the bill that are from the agency. The policy bill that increases and changes the welfare provision relating to a child's heritage to make sure that we're following federal and state ICWA and MIFBA laws. It clarifies and supports children in extended foster care. So for those of you that don't know a lot about foster care, extended foster care is between 18 and the 22nd birthday, where we support youth who we failed, who we did not find a permanent family for. And this clarifies language in that space to make sure they get the full benefit of that program. It reestablishes parental rights for a family and a child if a parent is able to be able to parent again and a child hasn't been adopted. If we failed that child and not found a permanent family and their parents are better, it helps us make sure that they can parent again. That's in the agency bill. Things in the agency bill are making sure that we aren't removing kids for attendance, clarifying attendance rules. That's in the agency bill. There's information in the agency bill about permanency services for children who are out of home placement. That's in the agency bill. Modifying MIFBA around timelines and reporting requirements. That's in the agency bill. Making sure that we have data privacy requirements for the Great Start compensation program. So it's really clear that who gets money for Great Start isn't public data. So we aren't disclosing children's data to Fox 9. That's in the agency bill. A special revenue fund for the Great Start compensation program to make sure that the next time there's cuts, that they are not the first thing to be trimmed. That's in the agency bill. I won't continue. I will continue. I'm going to point out one more, and then I swear I'm done. I could keep going. But the TEACH scholarships, making sure that those are working the way they were intended, that's in the agency bill. And the reason these good things are in the agency bill is because the people at the agency who are administering these programs and see every day, oh, shoot, I don't think that was the intent, or, oh, this thing isn't working, or I'm really concerned about this part. Bring those up through the agency to the governor and say, hey, I spend 40 hours a week trying to do this really unique niche thing to make the lives of Minnesotans better. And this legislative change would help me do that. Governor, would you consider asking the legislature to consider that? And we listen to them and we decide whether we agree. Just because it came from the agency doesn't mean it's about anything other than Minnesotans. People at the agency who work in these programs are committed to making them work well. And the reason they're committed to it is because their lives are really icky if they don't. Like, if your program is written legislatively where you can't make good policy and you can't get things done for people, it is the most frustrating experience as a state employee ever. Because you are there to make it better. And if you can't do it because we didn't make it clear, it's so frustrating. So when they come to us and say, hey, we figured out how to make this better, it's our job to listen to that and respond. And I am proud that we have done that in places that I feel are really important. And I am excited and impressed by our chairs for carrying those bills, bringing them forward, and letting us learn about those things and make those decisions. Just because we agree with the agency doesn't mean we're following them and taking it as not our bills. The governor does not present the bills. Our chairs do. And they made those bills better with amendments. They did good work with those bills. They did good work with those amendments. They negotiated with the department, and they talked to all of us. And we have put forth high-quality policy that will make the process easier for Minnesotans. I'm going to be a no on this because there is absolutely no way to do that if we tell the people who are saying to us, hey, this would really help. Yeah, it might. But we don't actually think you deserve to be paid to do it.
Representative Hengsten-Yeager.
Thanks. Kind of along those lines, I think it's important to remember state employees pay taxes. State employees are also parents. State employees are juggling childcare. So my husband and I are both state employees, and we have to figure out how are we going to do summer care for our two kids. So it affects 40,000 people in the state. I don't think this amendment is fair. I don't think crafting an argument saying that we need to put operating adjustments, which pays our employees and doesn't really add anything, but it pays employees to be able to go home to their families, and then we put them against childcare, and we frame it in a way that puts them against each other, I don't find that fair. What we should be doing, again, we talked about yesterday, is we need to make sure that we're also investing in our childcare space so that they are making the money that they need to have operational and profitable and quality childcare. And I think we need to remember that these state employers are the ones who, thank you, Chair Katizawatun, they administer the scholarships. You take those people away because cutting operating adjustments means layoffs. Taking those people away, those scholarships aren't getting administered. The people are not getting their money. They cannot go to the child care. You're taking away maltreatment investigators, which means the backlog for any maltreatment case is going to take longer. You're taking away investigations for CCAP, which means your payment withholds, your stop payments, and your fraud is getting delayed. And you're taking away the licensors. Again, putting backlogs in so people can't get their licenses to open up the childcare to have the slots so people in Minnesota can have the childcare. State employees are already asked to do so much with less. I heard a stat that the state runs 97% lean. I don't know much more we can pile on people without things starting to crumble. And if anybody was paying attention outside of Centennial today, MDH employees were out there because they're getting gutted. 170 people were laid off, which now, and all of those people were from infectious diseases. So those E. coli outbreaks coming from the food buffets on the lettuce, we're not going to be hearing about that. Wastewater monitoring, public health, measles outbreaks, all of these things have consequences. And if you're taking away the people who are doing the work, it puts all of us in danger and it makes all of us work off worse. So please vote no.
Representative Coulter.
Excuse me. Thank you, Madam Chair. First, just a quick question for Chair West. Was this part of the signed agreement between you and Chair Katizawatun?
Chair West.
Thank you, Representative Coulter. We have an agreement, not a signed agreement. But I'm going to honor the agreement.
Representative Coulter.
Okay. I'll ask that question again then. Was this part of the agreement between you and Chair Katizawatun?
Chair West.
No.
Thank you.
Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I would just say I'm glad to hear there is such strong support for our early learning scholarships. As one who was the author of the bill 2 years ago to make an historic investment in them to ensure that thousands more Minnesota kids would have access to quality, affordable early care and learning. I guess I wish that support had shown up in your votes.
Right. Any further discussion to the A9 amendment? Representative West.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One thing I like about the A9 amendment is when we look at this bill, you saw that the governor's operating adjustment was higher than what we were going for early learning scholarships. And that's just sad. And the numbers that you see in the request of the department are line itemed when they're for the federal government. Why? Because then they get their 32% or whatever federal match. And because there's something to gain, well, they will happily line item. When you ask for details as a representative and or chair, it is a vagary of insurance and compensation and those related things. We need more specifics, and I don't think the reason we don't get specifics is because, well, like everything in the legislature, it's negotiation. You don't come in with what you actually need. You come up with what more than you need, just like we have departments spend money just so that they don't have to make an excuse of why they should keep the money. So government naturally is not particularly efficient, and it is not, these numbers are not sacred in any way. These are merely requests. And I think it's very important that we focus on funding parents and kids over the department. That being said, I always honor my agreements, and I cannot vote for this because I made an agreement, but I would allow people to make their own choice on how they will go.
Representative Nadeau.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. And, you know, like I said earlier, and I didn't mean to irritate people, you know, there's no one on this side of the aisle that defends and works for you know, the infrastructure that that funds what we do more than I do. You know, somebody brought up the Minnesota Department of Health. And, you know, the Minnesota Department of Health in 2022 had a base budget of $321 million. And after last year, it went to $566 million. That's a 70% increase in a state agency of state dollars. So when I sit here and try to make an effective argument that says that we should be focusing on families and costs, and I get it. You don't have to vote for this. Honestly, I don't care. You know, I think that this is where we should be focusing is on how do we help families. And if you want to fund the department, great. Fund the department. It's going to be there. It's going to keep working. They're going to do great work. All right, but we have an opportunity to actually do something that's going to help families. And if you don't want to do that, that's great. Vote no. And with that, thank you, Madam Chair. Please vote green on this amendment.
The clerk will take the roll on the bill. The chair votes absolutely not. Oh, sorry. The clerk will take the roll on the A9 amendment. Jumping ahead of things.
Chair Katiza-Watoon.
Absolutely not.
Chair West.
Pass.
Vice Chair Hansen.
Absolutely not.
We're in recess.
In the middle of a vote. You can't, but whatever.
It is not according to any custom and usage of any house to go into recess.
Vice Chair Nelson.
Yes.
Representative Altendorf.
Yes.
Representative Coulter.
No.
Representative Hemmingson-Yeager.
No.
Representative Hicks.
No.
Representative McDonald. Representative McDonald.
Oh, yes.
Representative Nadeau.
Yes.
Representative Olson.
Yes.
Representative Perez-Vega.
No.
Representative Sensenmura.
No.
Representative Zalesnikar.
Yes.
With the vote of...
Oh, Representative West.
Oh. Chair West.
Pass.
With a vote of 6 aye and 7 nay, the motion does not prevail.
There being 6 ayes and 7 nays, the amendment, the motion does not pass and the amendment is not adopted. All right. That was our final amendment that was submitted due to the before the deadline. Members, after yesterday's discussion, Chair West and I continued working diligently on together to find an agreement on the camera proposal, and we have reached a agreed upon amendment that the chair is going to offer. So Chair West, would you like to move the final amendment, the A25?
I will move the A25 amendment.
All right. So Chair West, to your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like, just so everybody's on the same page, to have nonpartisan walk through it first so everybody can know what the agreement is, and then I will go into the amendment, if you would.
Good. Ms. Mock.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will walk through the amendment coded A25. So on the lines 1.3 and 1.4 of the amendment, they clarify that for the provision in the bill related to having cameras in child care centers, it provides that the facility, which is a term used throughout that section, does not include any outdoor space that is not located on the same property as the licensed child care center, so that a child care center that possibly like uses a public park as its place for play would not need to put a camera in that space. Line 1.5 of the amendment provides that the video security cameras that are required under the section have to be closed circuit video security cameras. Starting on line 1.7, there's a change to the requirements for cameras. So under the DE1, it provides that if a child care center has a camera, then it has to comply with the requirements of the section. This changes it to provide that if a child care center is required to post a maltreatment investigation memorandum, then it has to have a video security camera in the public and shared areas of its facility. As required under this subdivision. And the further requirements under that subdivision are go back to what was originally in House File 1915. So they provide that the cameras have to be in each room designated for infants and toddlers, and they also have to cover the outdoor recreational equipment used by infants and toddlers. And then there's, starting on 1.24, going to the next page, there's some specifications for the types of cameras. And then there's also a new language starting on 2.5 that provides that if the child care center has the cameras that a child care center is exempt from having those cameras that meet those requirements that I just described if the center has cameras in their infant and toddler rooms already prior to July 1, 2025. Moving on to line 2.8 of the A25 amendment, there's a change here to when parents have access to or can request to view footage from the cameras. So it provides here that they can only request to view the footage when they have documentation from a physician of a child's physical injury. There's some technical changes throughout to match some of the substantive changes I've talked about. Starting on 2.15, this language here changes the language. If you recall, under the DE1, there's money available through currently existing technology grants that can go for cameras. So this provides that those grants can be up to $4,000 for licensed child care centers to help them cover the costs of buying cameras and other related training they need. And then, Madam Chair, I will pass it over to Mr. Berg to talk about the funding.
Thank you, Ms. Mock. Mr. Berg.
Madam Chair and members, beginning on line 219 are the changes to the numbers to implement the change in money in the bill. And as you know, just to set the stage, this takes $150,000 out of the early learning scholarships in 2026 and $350,000 net out of the operating adjustment for the department in 2026. And I will mention why that it's not intuitive what the numbers are here. Line 219 is the change to the total all funds expenditure in the bill in 2026. Line 2020 is the change to the general fund total for the whole bill in 2026. Line 221 is the change to the total all funds number for the central office. Line 222 is the change to the general fund number in 26 to the central office. Line 223 is the change to the appropriation to children and economic support grants, where the food money that is being new food money, food bank money appears. And on line 224 is the reduction in the early learning scholarships. And since it came up with both Representative Nadeau's amendment yesterday and this one with Chair West, there are two things that make this not intuitive. One is that on lines 221 of the amendment and 224 of the amendment, the number that's being removed is actually a number that's a typo in the underlying DE amendment, so we're both changing the number and correcting the original number. That's one thing that makes it not intuitive. But when you take money from the central office operations line, there is federal financial participation, FFP we call it, federal offset, that gets basically pays for 32% of the cost. So we appropriate the gross amount, which is what these numbers are, and then FFP gets you to the net number. So to get a net change of $350,000 at the central office, you have to remove $770,000 of general fund appropriation, and you lose $420,000 of federal offset for a net change of $350,000. So you can't just take one and minus the other and get to 350 that way, because you have to take into account the federal offset. Losing that actually changes the total amount of general fund money in the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Berg. Chair West, to the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Sorry, it was. Did you want me to call on somebody else for explanation?
I sent you a text.
Oh, sorry. No.
Okay, all right, just making sure. All right. Thank you for that wonderful walkthrough. I think I've apologized to Ms. Mock like 480 times in the past week. I'm interested to see her tally. It's probably in that realm. But it's thank you to our wonderful staff for getting this set up. And we are finally to the point where we can get a bill out for this committee. It's been a little rockier than anticipated. But on this specific amendment, the trying to address all the things we heard, particularly yesterday. One thing that was brought up was, well, this is not focused, the original proposal. It doesn't focus on maltreatment. So it's like, well, a focus on maltreatment is what we're about. I still believe, like, my end goal would still be to put a camera across every center, but the legislature is the art of the possible, and this having this focused on centers that have maltreatment violations is a very good step in the right direction, particularly because they're posted for 4 years. So that's a longer period of time. So when this bill triggers, we will have many centers that have maltreatment violations, if they don't already have cameras, which they probably do, is in my experience. They will have to install them, and they will, another provision, they will have to be closed circuit. Cameras, which to me, I personally am not super up in arms about whether it's closed circuit or not, but I know many people are, and in the effort to try and build as much consensus around this as possible, a closed circuit system makes sense. And what closed circuit means is, well, it's closed within the environment of wherever it physically is located, so you can't have wireless cameras. Now, if a center already has wireless cameras or Wi-Fi sharing or anything of that like, they are grandfathered into this, because the idea is, just like we heard yesterday from a center saying their cameras would not qualify under the conditions laid out in the amendment, the idea, we're not going to punish people who are already doing the right thing. That is absolutely not the goal here. So if your camera doesn't meet the minimum requirements, they will be granted, they will be grandfathered in. And if they already offer remote access to parents, they will also be grandfathered in.
This is how the legislature works. I know a lot of people would like to see more. A lot of people would like to see yes. This is definitely a hill I was quite clearly going to die on, and it will be a hill I will continue to die on as we move to conference committee. It's really important that we have this, and my personal experience has really illustrated it, but it is so hard to get a charges or a conviction when things like this happen. And one of the reasons that's important is because if without a felony conviction in some of these terrible cases we've heard about, the perpetrators potentially could be working in childcare again. Even with just a, like, say they do get a maltreatment violation, eventually that does also fall out of their record. Now they are, I think it's, I want to say 7 years, which is, you know, better than nothing. But that is why footage is important to have and hold for 60 days, especially in maltreatment cases. Also has money for a food bank that doesn't have an annual operating budget over $100 million. That was a compromise that was made, considering the Second Harvest situation and their executive pay, especially for their top executives. This offers $500,000 in funding that is split between the governor's operating adjustment and early learning scholarships, which not thrilled about the second part, but again, it's the art of compromise. And another concession that was made by the other side that I appreciate is now the governor's operating adjustment is a wee bit lower than the amount allocated of new money for early learning scholarships, which I'm very happy to see. So with this amendment, we have a, we are able to move this bill to Ways and Means and hopefully to the floor and to conference from there. And I think we have a lot of good provisions here that I'll talk about when we're passing the bill at the end of this committee hearing. But this is sometimes compromise is messy, and messier than it needs to be sometimes, and I am happy we were able to find something to provide additional accountability in cases of maltreatment by having this camera and data retention requirement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, discussion to the A25 amendment. I will support.
I was trying to make a cricket sound and I couldn't figure it out.
as Chair West mentioned, this is a difficult amendment to come to, and you know, I think that I appreciate the earnesty with which Chair West worked with a variety of stakeholders and with me and hearing the concerns of my committee members about the camera mandate, and I think that we have reached a acceptable compromise. And I guess with that, there's no further discussion. All those in favor of the A25 amendment, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? No. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Members, at this time we can discuss the DE1 as amended prior to adoption. Representative Coulter.
Excuse me. Thank you, Madam Chair. I can kick things off. Just first of all, I just wanted to thank you, Madam Chair, and you, Mr. Chair, for the way in which you have run this committee. Many of my committees I have often frankly complained about, but really generally I have not in this committee. And I think that is a good thing. Obviously, this is not the bill that I think either side would have written by themselves, but it is one that I'm comfortable voting for. I do. There are a few what my dad would call a few clunkers that I wanna point out. I continue to have concerns on the language around some of the ratio changes that we are making. I'm not honestly sure, given the enrollment numbers that I have seen for family child care and where things stand, I'm not honestly sure they're going to make that much of a difference. And I continue to be concerned. I'll ask the question again. You know, how many six-year-olds can any of us carry when there's a fire? I just continue to have some real worries about that language. And I want to also specifically point to its language on line 63.28 of the DE. And if I seem a little bit worked up right now, it's because we heard a lot of talk about how we need to support providers and we need to support families, particularly those who are struggling to pay for childcare. And what this language does is it removes a 10% bonus from the Great Start compensation supports for providers who are serving the kids in Minnesota kids who are most in need. And it's specifically the language in here is an area with low access to childcare, high poverty rates, high unemployment rates, low home ownership rates, and low median household incomes. We are taking away a bonus from childcare providers who serve those kids. And given a recent survey that just came out from the Minneapolis Fed, that 30% of providers say that they are in a less stable financial position than they were a year ago, I just don't think that's the right move that we need to, that's not the right move right now. I'm also a little bit troubled that that was not in a bill that we heard in committee. It was in the DE, and you know, we've had the opportunity to discuss it now. But up until now, it was not something that was on anyone's radar. There are some good things in this bill, and I did specifically want to close with the good things. The additional funding for SSIS, obviously, I think is a priority for everyone on this committee. I am glad that we were able to get some additional funding for the early learning scholarships as well. The pickup and drop-off time staffing changes that the bill of Representative Nadeau had is, I think, a good move. And I am grateful that at least some of the pieces of my licensing bill are in here. And rest assured, I've already started working with advocates to begin organizing to get the money to do the rest of what was in my licensing bill. So we're coming back and we'll be stronger than ever. What I will say sort of in closing is that I am not someone who, you know, as somebody who sort of came of age politically following the war in Iraq and No Child Left Behind, I am not somebody who believes that bipartisanship is a good thing in and of itself. I don't think that means, you know, something being bipartisan does not mean it's good. But what I think the work in this bill shows is that bipartisan input can result in a better product when we have fuller discussions, when we have good faith conversations, when we, you know, all recognize a problem and we're willing to work on addressing a solution. And I think for the most part, I think we've had some hiccups, frankly, particularly over these last couple of days. But I think for the most part, that's what this committee has demonstrated. So I will be voting yes on the bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Hicks.
Thank you, Chairs. And I would like to share one thing that I'm really disappointed about and the things that I'm really excited about. And so the thing I'm really disappointed about is Head Start. I'm really, really concerned about Head Start. I'm concerned about Head Start for a few reasons. One of those reasons being that several Head Start locations have seen decreases in their federal grants. And the Chicago Head Start office has closed. They're not getting any communication about who they should be sending their reports to. They're very concerned about their Head Start funding. I am very concerned about Head Start funding. I've said before in this committee, and I'll say it again, Head Start is more than just childcare. It's more than just early learning. It is a child welfare prevention tool. It is a wraparound service that puts parent educators in homes of children who are very low income and very deep in poverty, and it helps make sure that they know how to find and locate the resources to help make sure that things don't go sideways. It also prevents child welfare in that there are supports and parent classes and parent training and parent resources to be a better parent in a variety of ways. It builds a sense of community, and it brings people together and builds the village that so many folks no longer have naturally. I am very sad that we are not funding Head Start. I will remain very sad that we're not funding Head Start. And if the tea leaves are indicative of more cuts to Head Start, and we see Head Start places close in anyone's district, but especially in anyone in this committee's district, I will remind us all that we made that choice together. And I'm sad that we're making it. But I am excited about a lot of the really good policy things that are in here. I am excited about the diaper bank. I am excited about food shelves. I am excited about food banks. I am excited for a lot of the things that are in here. And the truth of the matter is that at the moment, we can't do everything that I would like to do. And we did give Head Start extra money 2 years ago, and we did do a lot of investments. And hopefully someday we will be able to do those things again. In the meantime, I will be voting for this bill because I think it is a good place for where we are today. And I look forward to the day when I don't have to talk about that we're not funding the biggest child welfare prevention in the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Representative Hicks. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Chair Katiza Watun. I almost said your whole name. So sorry about that. As I look at this bill, I think there's wins and losses for everybody. And I think it's at the end of the day, I think all of us have a little bit of heartburn voting for it. But I think overall, I think there's a lot of good things to vote for in it as well. And one of the things that I'm most proud of is getting the funding for SSIS. And that's something that I hope to, that I commit to be working through on the end, through the end of the session, get across the governor's desk, because that's something that coming into this session, that was kind of my main goal. And it's a little unfun or unsexy to write home about it in the update letters telling what people, what I'm doing at the Capitol, but at the same time, it's something that's very important, and I think will is far beyond need. So for that, I am a very strong yes on the bill, and I thank you for everyone that has worked to make that happen. So thank you.
Representative Vice Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, committee members. I think this has been a really interesting committee in the most Minnesotan way I can say that. I do think that we have a lot of things to be really proud of in this, but as you've heard from some of my other members, there's definitely some things that, you know, we wish we could have done differently. But I am really looking forward to a lot of the great things in this bill, including, you know, improving our kinship caregivers and supporting them, kinship caregiver program and supporting them better, making sure that we're investing in FAME. We know that these programs directly lift people out of poverty, and helping people leave poverty should be the goal of everybody in the legislature. I'm also really excited about some of the other policies we have in here that are really going to make the lives of families better. I'm looking forward to all of the great things that the department bill will do in our child protection system, our child welfare system, continue to make those improvements. So I thank the department and the counties for continuing to work in good faith on that, and all of the members of this committee as well. I am most excited about SSIS. I've been working on this for many, many years, and I thank Representative Vice Chair Nelson for also assisting on that, because it's important. But as I've been in the community out talking to counties, bringing the committee to counties, it's really been frontline workers that have stepped up and told us that we needed this done, and making sure that they could make their voices heard at the legislature. So thanks to all the social workers out there that sat before our committee, 4 years in a row, I think it was, Representative Nelson, and that invited us and welcomed us at Scott County and showed us what your day-to-day job was like, because I think having those conversations with our elected officials matters a whole lot, and I think that's a big part of what helped us get here today, is because none of this work can be done in a vacuum. So shout out to all of the folks who shared that with us and for doing the work.
That work at the counties is not easy, and we know the burnout rates have been high. And so we're hoping that this investment really helps reduce some of that burnout and keep folks in those positions longer. Hopefully we reduce turnover as well, and just see the investments we need. We have other systems we need to continue to upgrade. So as we invest in this, I hope that as we go forward into coming sessions that we'll continue to invest in these updates that we need in Maxis and Prism and the other systems that our county folks use and continue to push those efficiencies forward. I'm really proud of our chairs. I want to say thank you for doing the great work that you've done. I think honoring our agreements is really great. We were mostly consistent on saying what's in the agreement is what we'll support, and so I appreciate that. But we should continue to stick to that. I think all we have in this work is our word and our integrity. And we, through this process, I think learned a lot about each other, and I'm really excited for what that means in coming years as we continue to do the work that families need us to do and that children expect us to do. And lastly, I just want to say thank you to our staff. We are nothing without you, and we couldn't have done this without you. And the work that you always bring here is honorable and just absolutely invaluable to us. So thank you for everything that you've done and running our committees. I know it's your first time, Lauren, and so thank you for being here with us and doing that. And to obviously our pages and our committee administrator, Coley, for being here as well. So thanks for all the great work, and thank you, chairs.
Thanks, members, for a great session. Chair West started off the session with a gavel, and I'm glad that I get to have it on our last day when we've reached an agreement to send this bill out to Ways and Means. I think it was invoked yesterday that the chair has privilege to put their priorities in the bill. I don't have any priorities in this bill. My priority as chair is making the best bill that we can for the people of Minnesota. There's a lot of restrictions on what that means in this session. I think the relative silence right now speaks volumes. We still have a lot of work to do. Mr. Chair, final closing thoughts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, members of the committee, for a fantastic committee. I've thoroughly enjoyed everyone here. And when I say I love you all, I actually do love you all. I'm not kidding. It has been a trying couple of days, but we have made it there. And I appreciate the willingness of us all to work. And eventually we make it there. This bill could be better, could be worse. You know, I wish the bill did more, particularly to lower the cost of childcare, but there's only so much we can do in such a short time. Mm-hmm. And next year is when we have to do modernization, and we're gonna do a great job as a committee. I really believe that we're gonna do the best work and balance the needs of the state and also provide increased safety and lower costs for what's desperately needed. And I appreciate the committee working with me to develop the fact that we passed SSIS, we're going to pass SSIS funding in a deficit situation when it's been needed for years and we've had money. And I'm not just talking about last session, I mean many sessions. It has been brutal. So we've done great work in this bill. My actual third reading speech can be for the floor. But I appreciate everyone here and your work on the committee, and I look forward to our work together next year to build the best childcare system that we can. So without further ado, I'll renew my motion to re-refer House File 24.
Mr. Chair, first we have to adopt the DE amendment as amended, DE1 amendment as amended. So Chair West renews his motion to adopt the DE1 amendment as amended. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. The motion prevails. and the DE1 amendment as amended is adopted. Chair West, you can now move House File 2436 as amended.
I renew my motion to refer House File 2436 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means.
All right. Chair West renews his motion that House File 2436 as amended be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, and I direct nonpartisan staff to make any technical corrections to conform with the action and the intent of the committee. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails, and House File 2436 as amended is re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. So, members, this is our last regularly scheduled, actually it wasn't regularly scheduled, but our last scheduled meeting of the committee, and I want to take the opportunity before we take off just to honor our thanks to our nonpartisan staff, Annie Mock, Danielle Punelli, who's not with us tonight, Sarah Sunderman, Doug Berg, our revisor staff, Dean and Cassie, Sarah, our page. Thank you for all of your work picking up after us. Unfortunately, we'll be cleaner next year. Our DFL partisan staff, Joe Durheim, Caleb Rohr, Coley Colburn, Vice Chair Hansen, and we had a intern, Rosemary, who joined us a number of times throughout the session, and our GOP staff as well. Lauren Hayward, you did a great job in your first session. I'm glad that we all learned together this year. Will Golding and Elizabeth Lauka. And then Vice Chair Nelson, it's been a pleasure serving on this committee with you over the years, and glad that we were able to share this leadership position together. Mr. Chair, it has been a pleasure. I appreciate your commitment to making this work. I said before off the record, I noted that we segregated ourselves into partisan teams after Chair West recommended that we sat every other member or close to that throughout the session. And I think that hopefully we were able to develop some stronger working relationships because of that seating arrangement. So that's all I have to say for right now. But I'm looking forward to continuing to do the work of the Minnesota people with you all next year and build a brighter future for the children and families of this great state. With that, we are adjourned.